please have a seat. Vaughan.
Hello, good morning, and a very warm welcome to anybody who is here for the first time or visiting to this, our Remembrance Day service. At 12 o'clock, for those of you who are members, there's a church meeting, and the major item for discussion will be how to make best use of a large legacy we've received recently, so please do try and stay if you can. And then at 6:30, there's reflective worship, where we shall be taking the remembrance theme a step further. Tom Fiskin's funeral is tomorrow, Monday, the 12th of November, at 11:40, at Kingston Crematorium. And I don't know whether Jenny Tarbuck is here, but congratulations to her on a recent award from the Camera Club, which she's received for some of her work here in Kingston. Tomorrow, there will be a remembrance poetry afternoon from 2 o'clock in the foyer, with readings from a selection of poems on the theme of remembrance. Do please come and listen if you'd like to, or if you've got something of your own, please do contribute it to the proceedings. A couple of reminders that there are still tickets available for the 350th anniversary gala dinner on the 1st of December. It would be good, if you are coming, if you could buy a ticket by this time next week so that we have an idea of numbers. Also, now is a good time to sign up for the alternative Christmas card if you'd like to. And finally, a little procedural notice. We understand that Edenwalk car park staff, and this affects you, those of you who park in Edenwalk on a Sunday morning, they are no longer able, under any circumstances, to accept money for people who stay on after 1 o'clock. So please do bear this in mind, especially on church meeting Sundays like today.
I should help people to cut to the chase, eh? We want to say a warm welcome to the Megacities team who are squatting in our building. We ask, we hope that you're being comfortably well looked after, and some of these people they've come from the other side of the world. They've come from Australia to bless London, and they are doing all sorts of work in Kingston. So if you want to know more, you want to know what that's about, ask them. They'll tell you. I invite you, if your legs will let you, to stand. There has been a church in our sort of tradition on this site for 350 years, and we think that is something worth celebrating. And so we say together, we are Kingston United Reformed Church. We celebrate our diversity of worship and freedom of relationship with the state. With the whole Christian church, we will follow Jesus. We will serve him in our community and in our daily lives in the strength of the Holy Spirit. And from Philippians, let the same mind be in you as was in Christ Jesus. Although he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. We join to sing, Lord of all hopefulness. Lord of all hopefulness. So let us join together to pray. Let us pray. Almighty God, we praise your greatness and the blessings that you shower on us. Almighty God, we praise your weakness, the way you chose to share our life in Jesus, your Son, born to save us all. Almighty God, we praise your strength, opposing pride and stubborn wills, feeding the hungry, and lifting people's lives. Loving God, we confess the wrong that we are a part of. The bad things that we've done. The good that we left undone. The evil that we did not challenge and shrugged our shoulders and said, ah, well, it's just how things are. Forgive us. Guide us. And may we be sensitive to your Spirit, challenge us to speak and to work for justice and for peace beyond our ease, beyond social convention. And we pray in the name of Jesus, whose words and ways show the full extent of your love and your forgiveness. Lord, we pray. Amen. We say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sin, as we forgive those who sin against us. And do not bring us into the time of trial, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So these are the words of the prophet Micah, a vision of the future from God's perspective. John Watts will read this passage to us.
A reading from the book of Micah, beginning to read at the fourth chapter in the first verse. In days to come, the mountain where the temple stands will be the highest one of all, towering above all hills. Many nations will come streaming to it, and their people will say, "Let us go up the hill of the Lord to the temple of Israel's God. He will teach us what he wants us to do. We will walk in the paths he has chosen. For the Lord's teaching comes from Jerusalem, and from Zion he speaks to his people. He will settle disputes among the nations among the great powers near and far. They will hammer their swords into ploughs and their spears into pruning knives. Nations will never again go to war, never prepare for battle again. Everyone will live in peace among his own vineyards and fig trees, and no one will make him afraid. The Lord Almighty has promised this. Here ends the reading.
Such passages and passages like it make it clear that however we feel about those who have given their lives to fight for their country, it is not within the ultimate aim and will of God that there should be war and armed conflict among us, and that a more mature and developed society would find different ways to sort out disputes. Put peace into each other's hands, we join to sing. once a member of the church asked another member of the church why it was that on this season of the year British people wore those red flowers. It's a quirky British thing, this whole remembrance package. And it also is a thing that has changed through the years. It's interesting. Once upon a time, we sort of did it. And then in more recent times, we've got much more serious about it. So there's been campaigns that 11 o'clock, you'll keep 11 o'clock even if it's a Tuesday. You know, been in the gym before now when they've shouted out, it's Remembrance Sunday and we've finished our stretches in silence. So we've sort of ebbed and flowed with it because I think we've come to terms with the harsh and horrible reality that we will continue to have men and women who will die as a result of conflict. So let me ask you the question then. What does Remembrance Sunday mean to you? I've got a number of people who have done me some reflecting. And what we're going to do is we're going to hear some stories from a range of different people. But you might think when you hear these stories that something hasn't been said. And that's cool. So come up and speak. We're going to sing in between each of the stories the words Chris is going to put up, making it quite, this little refrain makes it quite clear that there are things that we pray about that actually it's up to us to answer our own prayers. It's not enough just to say to God, could you? We also have to be part of the answer. So let's sing this through. What does Remembrance Sunday mean to you? And the reply came back. It is something that I've always done since I was in the Brownies and Girl Guides, to remember what those young men died for our country, and are still doing it today. It's something that should be done. I don't know why some people feel that they shouldn't remember what these people did for us and are still doing. It must be hard for those people when their loved ones don't come back. It's nice for family members when they come home. But for some, their sons or their daughters come home in coffins. We must not forget.
Thoughts on a Remembrance Sunday. As one of the thousands of ex-servicemen and women waiting to pray down Whitehall on Remembrance Sunday, my thoughts always turned to the horror and waste of war. Surrounded by marchers wearing campaign medals, awarded for service in every battle fought by our armed services during the last 60 years. The silence just prior to the 11 o'clock gun descends without a single order being given. No one moves or talks. I guess this is when memories of lost comrades come flooding back. Many tears are shed. After a short service of remembrance, the parade moves off towards the cenotaph. The guards band playing, as always, "It's a Long Way to Tipperary." The limbless, blind and disabled and war widows on parade, warmly applauded by fellow marchers. During the course of the march, statues of great war leaders are to be seen. My own thoughts always turn to the question, when will we see statues erected to the great peace leaders? Will it ever happen? Another reflection, many war memorials bear the inscription, dedicated to all those who gave their lives. Surely they should read, dedicated to all those who had their lives taken. War, as we know, brings more evils than good. I hope that one day the only wars we become involved in will be wars fought against poverty, injustice, hunger, and homelessness, battles in which we can play a part. Blessed be the peacemakers.
One of the young people, what does Remembrance Sunday mean to you? It means marching through the high street with the scouts and then standing in the rain next to a memorial while people lay wreaths and remembering our dead. I have one more to read, but I'd like it to be the last one. So, does anybody have a contribution?
From where I work, from where I started to work in Whitehall, the cenotaph was right outside our building, and it's such a sad, beautiful, and so full of what we must not forget sight to see the flags flying on there. It's beyond what words can describe to just be there and remembering.
Thank you. Then I will read these words, which are written for us by Kevin Jones, who is a member of this church and chaplain with the 1st Battalion Welsh Guards. Remembrance Day began as a result of the huge loss of life in the First World War and of a nation's need to cope with the effects of that conflict, which touched every community and family in some way. The war in Afghanistan is on a smaller scale, but for me, it will be what is primarily in my thoughts on Remembrance Day 2012. I will remember especially standing in the intense sun at the vigils in Camp Bastion for the Welsh Guards who died and their colleagues who died with them. And the names of those Welsh Guards who died will stay with me forever. Lee Davis, Apeti Tusavura, and Craig Roderick. I will think back to the conversation I had with the commanding officer back in March before we deployed to Afghanistan about our hope that we would bring every one of our boys back home safely, a hope that wasn't realised. And about sitting with their comrades after the deaths, leading the informal services where we remembered each of the fallen and toasting them using the Welsh Guards communion chalice from the Second World War, as we tried to come to terms with the initial shock of what had happened. And above all, the horrible sick feeling in my stomach as we heard on the 12th of May of the first death of Lee Davis. And then the rush to do my job and minister to those in our unit, firstly at the headquarters, and then going to the patrol base to be with his comrades. I know that on Remembrance Day that many people will have specific thoughts about people they have known who have died in war, which makes the remembrance very personal. Until today, I haven't known anybody who'd been killed in conflict. Being brought up in Coventry, I learnt about the bliss in the Second World War. And my nan told me about the house next to theirs being bombed flat and the people all being killed, except for one little girl. My granddad had been at Dunkirk and later in North Africa and Italy. But these weren't directly part of my experience. So while I remembered, it was without that weight of loss. But all of this hasn't changed how I think about war. War is a terrible thing, whatever its context. Every single loss of life is a tragedy that shouldn't happen if we were living as God intends us to live. I still believe that we fail tragically to find other ways of resolving differences and don't try hard enough to make peace. And so, my final thought today will not be about looking back, but to look forward. Remembrance shouldn't be only about what has happened. It should be a challenge to every one of us to do all we can to work for peace in the future. And I feel that challenge even more keenly this year because of my experience this summer and because of Lee Davis, Apeti Tusavura, and Craig Roderick. And isn't it amazing that a man who was born in Fiji, Apeti, would die in Afghanistan?
Your kingdom come.
I'm going to lead us in prayer in a moment. We've had one request for prayer from Eddie Keir, who's a foyer regular. He asks for our prayers. He has to go into hospital for an examination of his heart, no, angioplasty for his legs on Tuesday. So let us pray. So let us hold up before God all those who on this day are waiting to go into hospital this week. And for those who will look after them. For those who work in hospitals, cleaners and cooks, surgeons and therapists, nurses and medics. May our hospitals be places of healing. So we pray for those victims of past wars, remembering before a loving God those who have died in battle, or those who have died of the consequences of injury or disease, those who mourn still. Those who live with disability, physical disability, and those who are psychologically scarred. Those who live with post-traumatic stress disorder, and the large number of people among the homeless people who live on the streets as a consequence of what they have experienced. Let us pray for those who are the victims of current conflicts, remembering before a loving God children who are trained to hate and to fight. That every gun that is bought is food out of the mouth of those who are hungry. Families turned into homeless refugees, and land that is laid waste and made barren. Let us pray for peace in our world. Let us remember before a loving God all those who are working for peace. Let us pray for the United Nations. For negotiators, Let us pray that resource will be given for peacemaking. And let us pray for ourselves. Lord our God, give us a generosity of spirit in the conflicts that we know. And give us a rigor of commitment as your followers and as your people to be questioning citizens and to speak on behalf of those who need a voice. And we pray in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. So let us continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. It is not only money that we offer, Lord Jesus. We offer this money as a sign that we offer ourselves. Take us, the broken, foolish people that we are, your people, to do your work and be part of something beyond our imagining. Thanks be to you, our God. Amen. A final hymn, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. And the blessing of God the Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit be with us and those whom we love, wherever they are. Amen.